The only way, Adam, that we don't get DJ Moore season is Sam Darnold riding in on his white horse and he's like, "Here I come to wreck the day."
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. We are back to talk about waiver wire pickups for Week 10. I'm your host, Derek Brown, FTNFantasy.com. As always, joined by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, we got to talk about it, man.
Don't say
Monday Night Football, baby. I'm not going to sit here and put your face in the end of what happened.
You really did scare me because Zach Graham. We did the NBA show yesterday and he kind of led with the Bills and I knew he was going there.
I wasn't gonna do it to you, baby. I wasn't gonna do it, man. Listen, like, it's too rough.
Let's skip past this. Let's go right to Justin Fields, because that's what I want to talk about.
I'm trying to talk about, man, but you want to talk about the Bills always. Yes, Justin Fields time, baby. All the haters don't want to see it, dude. He crushed last night and I am not a Bears fan, okay? Nobody will ever confuse me for being a Bears homer. I wanted Chicago to come back and win that game because just to be the cherry on top of the Justin Fields coming out party, man. He played so good. And all the things we've been talking about, the downfield accuracy, the ability to make plays with his legs, the decision making, pinpoint accuracy. You saw it, man. Like, he is slowly becoming the quarterback we talked about and the prospect profile, and that we hope to see every single week, man. Like, that San Francisco game made quicker decisions. The Steelers game, he was electric. The only reason Chicago had a chance to come back and win that game. And look, can we even talk about the fact of, like, all the flags that were thrown and, like, the fact that they had a touchdown wiped off the board off of some bullshit? It's like, are we serious? Is this a real thing? Unfortunately, it is, man.
I don't know, like, I'm usually not in the mindset of, oh, this game's fixed. But, man, it was hard. It was, like,
it was rough, man.
A lot of those calls, it was like, okay, maybe it kind of was. But, yeah, Justin Fields was unbelievable in that game. The first half was a little bit of a slow start. They struggled to move the football, which wasn't too surprising. But then, I mean, second half starts. I mean, the throw down the seam to Jimmy Graham in traffic was fantastic. The touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney was really good. Like, you knew, like, each week he was getting a little bit more comfortable and a little bit better. And then this week was the week. Like, this was the breakout game. I think he was PFF's number one graded quarterback of the week, for whatever that's worth. But, like, watching the game, like, it doesn't, like, I don't. And again, it was a week where, like, every star quarterback pretty much struggled except for Herbert and Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, like, Justin Fields was, like, again, the Bears lost. They're not going to win the division. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. But just that game alone, watching what Justin Fields did, that's so encouraging. That's so exciting, especially for us, because we were so high on him in the offseason. I didn't move off of him. You know, I'm excited, man. And it was good to see it happen with Matt Nagy still coaching. Like, right? It's like, the fact that they, you know, got a little bit more creative offensively, and I was just very, very impressed and happy with Justin Fields.
They ran some wildcat plays and stuff, and you saw them trying to negate some of the pass rush for Pittsburgh. They were chipping TJ Watt as much as they possibly could, but, dude, back on Fields, I mean, I've been telling people on my weekly column, like, as far as Dynasty Buys, which will be out later today over at FTN Fantasy, I've been like, look, like, multiple times I've mentioned it, and I'm like, you're probably tired of hearing me talk about Justin Fields, but hold, buy, trade, get him. Like, he is legit that good, and I know we haven't seen it yet, but come on, man. Like, these are rookie quarterbacks, too. Like, 5, 6, 7 games in their NFL careers, and we're already like, oh, he's never going to be good. Oh, he's bad. It's just people confirming priors, man. And you hate to see it because then Justin Fields comes out and he almost single-handedly wins the damn game for Chicago. Like, Yes, he nailed the throw, like thread the needle to Allen Robinson. The other throw down the sideline that he almost hit to Darnell Mooney would have been beautiful as well. I mean, it was just play after play after play. Like, Tevin Jenkins is slowly coming back from the back surgery and stuff, rehab. They showed pregame videos of him working out. He comes back, helps offensive line. The run game we know is good. Chicago might not be, I mean, like you're talking about, playoff team, all those types of things, because the defense has been quietly bad. Like, their secondary has been so quietly bad all season long. I mean,
you talked about it on the DFS showdown show with David Jones, yep. But they went right, you know, opposite where Jalen Johnson was. And the fact that they were also, again, they were without Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, and Alec Ogletree in that game. And then Akeem Hicks got hurt early and didn't play for the rest of the game. But yeah, I mean, like, their defense was already, you know, like you said, like, their secondary, it's been exploitable all year outside of Jalen Johnson.
Bad. Yeah, I mean, he's literally been the only thing that has covered up for a lot of their woes. And that game, you talked about the DFS show, dude. I thought people were going to say, like, I was talking crazy sauce yesterday. Because all the money was coming in on the under, and I was like, bet the over. There is a chance for explosive plays, and if you build this way for this game, and David and I went through all of it, I was like, everybody thinks this game is going to be slow, disgusting, and hit the under and be terrible. I'm telling you, bet the over. Because both of these defenses can give up explosive plays on the ground, through the air, and this game is going to hit the over. It should have hit it earlier before we had a touchdown wiped off the map by Jimmy Graham and what have you. And then we talked about the refs, dude. There's only so much I can hate on that and all those types of things. But this is all to say that Justin Fields is a baller. Where there's no way that we were going to start this episode without shedding some love and putting more light on Justin Fields, because he played extremely well. If he is somehow, and we haven't even gotten to waiver wire targets at him, if he is somewhere out there on the waiver wire and you're in one quarterback leagues, stash him. Stash him right now. Because whether you want to talk about the position overall and certain quarterbacks playing good, playing bad, and that field of good quarterback play kind of slowly shrinking a little bit. Like, Kyler Murray's hurt. Trevor Lawrence has been bad. Dimes is not playing good. You have other guys that we think that, like, oh, hey, they're going to be good quarterbacks for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And then they decide to just go off the rails and be terrible. A la Sam Darnold. The only way, Adam, that we don't get DJ Moore season is Sam Darnold riding in on his white horse and he's like, here I come to wreck the day. Like, that's the only thing that derails DJ Moore season right now. And we're talking about bad quarterback play, man. Like, it's crazy.
I just, in the year 2021 of the NFL, Sam Darnold has gone 5 games without throwing for over 207 yards. Like that's just unheard of. And,
man, dude.
And I tweeted it, like, it's obviously a joke, but it, like, Sam Darnold hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since 1995. Like, Justin Fields has a bye this week, but then, you know, Baltimore's, Their defense hasn't really been that good. They've given up a lot of explosive plays too, and then Detroit after that. So,
Detroit game is what? Is that the Thanksgiving game too?
Yes.
Ooh. Talk about good times with turkey, man. It's gonna be in a R.I.P. Elliot Chris, who apparently does not like turkey. We still gotta have a conversation about that, Elliot. But anyway, before we get too far off the rails, my friend, we are here to talk about waiver wire targets for Week 10. Adam, kick us off here, man. I'm seeing a few different names that we've discussed on multiple weeks, but apparently I head over to Yahoo and I look at roster percentages and I'm like, what? Why is Van Jefferson still out there? I don't get it.
Yeah, like, there's a couple of receivers we'll talk about that, you know, should have been picked up like 7 weeks ago, Rashad Bateman. But Van Jefferson's like right after that for me, because we've talked about him a lot on this podcast. He's a really talented player. Was already playing over DeSean Jackson anyway before they released him. But, like, now, like he ran 73 pass routes on Sunday night, which was 2 less than Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And he's a full-time player. Like, the Rams are going 3 wide 85% of the time this year. That's easily the highest mark in the NFL. I believe the next closest is, I don't even know, like, Tampa Bay probably. At like 70%. So he's going to be on the field a ton. He's the unquestioned deep threat in this offense. Like, And you look at that and you say, okay, like Van Jefferson, yeah, sure. He is the deep threat in this offense, but he's also the number three after Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. How many targets is he going to get? But he's consistently getting like 6-7 targets a game. It's not like he's getting 3-4 targets each week and you're hoping he pops off for a 40-yard play. So, yeah, I mean, Van Jefferson in, you know, deeper leagues, like even in 12-team leagues, like he needs to be added. I think he's 40% rostered right now. I love the player. The Rams love him. Probably one of the reasons why DeSean Jackson didn't work out there is because they just didn't have a need for him. They couldn't take Van Jefferson off the field. He's too good. So I love him. Again, he's going to go way overlooked this week because he will rarely be the top player to add off waivers in a given week, especially after we talk about some of these rookie receivers. But yeah, Van Jefferson, I'm starting him this week. I started him last week. Like there's leagues where I'm like way, way more comfortable starting Van Jefferson than a lot of other receivers out there. Like I'll tell you right now, and this might be crazy, I might feel better about starting Van Jefferson than Courtland Sutton with Jerry Jeudy back. I talked about it. Courtland Sutton has a 10.5% target share in three games with Jeudy this year. He has 9 total targets in those games. He's scored like less than 15 total fantasy points in those games. Like, I might just, like, that might be crazy to me, but like, I don't know if that's me being really high on Van Jefferson or just completely off Courtland Sutton, because I have been trying to trade Courtland Sutton for like 5 weeks now and, you know, in preparation for this, and I failed. I couldn't do it.
I mean, I love Van Jefferson, dude. We've been talking about him. Dude, would we bring him up like 2 weeks ago? Like, we've been talking about him like...
I talk about him pretty much every week in some capacity, whether it's on the solo pod, the trade pod, the waiver pod. Like, dynasty-wise, like, I've been holding on to him in a league where, like, I'm a contender in this league. And, like, Van Jefferson is somebody that, I just want to hold on to because... He's like, if I'm in a pinch and I, like last week I had Terry McLaurin on bye and I was like, I'm perfectly fine with Van Jefferson. And obviously the Rams offense kind of, you know, had their worst game of the season, but he still had opportunities, 7 targets. Like, yeah, like Van Jefferson probably, I think Van Jefferson might be one of the more underrated dynasty receivers right now.
Agreed. And this is a guy we're talking about has been, I mean, like he's part of a top 5 scoring offense. If you're able to pick him up for pennies off the waiver wire, you're talking about you're getting a steal. I think that the target volume is going to be there on a weekly basis, as well as the upside. We've seen him post multiple games with 80 or more receiving yards. And it's a guy that you're looking at like, Adam, like, what are you talking about? Like a min fab bid to get probably in most of your leagues? Because nobody's like clamoring or going after Van Jefferson. And if we're talking about deals here, dude, like this is fresh off the press. I'm literally getting this, like, right now, live to people, over at FTN Daily, and I try not to go off the rails too damn much, okay? I know I still do it from time to time, but when I am bringing in basketball, and I'm talking about other sports on this podcast, it's for really good reason, and the reason I'm bringing it up right now, man, is like, look, FTN Daily, we just launched FTN Daily Gold, a package where you can get access to literally like all of these awesome niche sports that you're like, where can I get content for? And all in one place, NHL, college basketball tips off today, and our amazing content team over there, like Kutri Stills, that podcast, all the other content providers for NCAA basketball, it's all absolute damn fire, dude. But you get that, you get college football, tennis, soccer, esports, all in one. So sign up today with the promo code FTC, save yourself 10%, get access to all of this content, the Discord, amazingness today. And again, if you're going to be watching college basketball today, enjoy the sweat, toss a few lineups in, dig into the content, man. But I know I'm not as much in the basketball streets as you, but I mean, like, this is going to get people fired up, right? Like, this is an amazing, amazing offer.
Yeah, I mean, with college basketball starting obviously today as well, and then you add the fact that you're, like you said, you're getting every sport, and NBA season, like, it's so fun for DFS because the access to the Discords, obviously, like, it's so valuable because if, you know, something happens and you're, you know, you're away from your computer or something, because when you're doing NBA DFS, like, going... it's like a double-edged sword because it's so fun, but at the same time, you can't really like have a social life until after lock. You kind of have to be on top of things, but that's why the Discord's so helpful because everybody's in Discord at all hours of the day, pointing out information, news breaks. So you add that with college basketball, which is starting up. I mean, just again, I've said it and I'm sound like a broken record, but this is the best time to be a sports fan ever. Everything's going on right now other than baseball just ended. But other than that, you have everything. It's a perfect time and it's a perfect time for FTN Gold. It's very exciting.
It's awesome, man. I mean, you get access to all these different sports, and you're not wrong, man. I know you keep saying it, but you're not wrong. It's a good time, dude. Like, if you love sports and you love sports content, it's a great time because there's so many different things popping off. We got new packages coming out daily, like, where you're going to be able to get, like, a really good deal on getting access to all of this, man. I want to lead us into our next waiver wire guy, and I'm just going to lump these two guys together because we've talked about them multiple times, Adam. But again, like I'm saying, you head to Yahoo and you pull up roster percentages, and I'm like, who is not rostered enough? Dear Lord, oh my stars, Elijah Moore is only 27% and Rashad Bateman's only 36%. What are we doing here, people?
Can we just hurry up with Bateman because like
literally how many times have we talked about him? 5, maybe 6, and I keep bringing him up because it's not going high enough, dude. And it's a guy that literally like over since he's come back, 6 targets, 6 targets, 8 targets, 18% target share. These are the things that you want. He is a talented player who's commanding volume, and whether you want to talk about it's a low volume pass, he's commanding volume, people. I'm not worried about the specter of Sammy Watkins. If he comes back, fine. Whatever.
Yeah, he's had to have passed Watkins in the depth chart, right? Like,
oh, dude, he's playing well.
And it's a hamstring for Watkins, too. Like, Watkins has missed the last handful of games with a hamstring, and he returned to limited practice Thursday and Friday, still didn't play. Now it's a short week, so it's possible he's out again. Like, Bateman, if Watkins is out just for this week, would be like a borderline top 30 receiver. And then, of course, the upside the rest of the season because Baltimore's throwing more. They are opening up their offense more. And Bateman, dude, I think Bateman's been 10 for 10 on third downs. He's been Lamar's third down guy. He's caught all 10 of his third down targets. And you talked about this before we got on the pod. He's been so close to just absolutely popping off. I think he scores his first touchdown of his career on Thursday, by the way.
I'm here for it, man. I think that yes, we talked about it before we turned the mics on. He is this close to having a monster game and having a breakout game and everybody being like, why? So you need to go pick him up. I mean, you're talking about the matchups the next 3 weeks are good, Adam. Like, Miami, nobody's scared of that secondary. Chicago, we just saw get ripped apart. And Cleveland, who you can beat deep. And Lamar is top 5, top 6 in deep attempts this year. Again, talking about Bateman, love Bateman, and Elijah Morrison is officially here, people. Like, after weeks and weeks and weeks of wanting him to pop off, we finally see Elijah Moore now. Are the routes as high as we'd want? No, but he was second on the team in routes. He wasn't had his routes cut, because if you look at the week before, he was even farther down. He was like 4th or 5th on the team in routes run. So last week, 2nd, he's climbing the depth chart. 18% target share. Sounds really familiar. All this rookie stuff down the stretch. Strange. Wish you would have picked these players up weeks ago. If you haven't, they're still out there. There's time to remedy that. But with Elijah Moore, I mean, come on, man. He owns a deep role. He led the team with 2 deep targets last week. I know Buffalo is not a good matchup this upcoming week, but then he gets Miami, he gets Houston, he gets Philly, and then New Orleans, Miami, Jacksonville, and Tampa. There's some good matchups sprinkled in there that you're going to be able to start Elijah Moore as Adam. I mean, I think like he's going to be a middling flex, high-end flex, and if he gets into the end zone, you're maybe seeing Elijah Moore. I mean, good Lord, he was a top 5 wide receiver this last week.
He was the number 1 receiver last week.
Exactly. I was burying the lead. I wanted you to slam it home, my friend.
To be fair, this was such a bad week for receivers. It was like out of this world bad for receivers. Like, I'm trying to think of like the like among the elite receivers in fantasy, like 2 were good, I think, off the top of my head. Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen. Hollywood was good too. Yep. But yeah, it was bad.
Bad week, man. I mean, you can name on one hand how many wide receivers had over 100 receiving yards, but still, I don't want to throw any shade at Elijah Moore. But again, we're talking about, I think that if he gets in the end zone any one of these different weeks, you're looking at possible wide receiver two production. So go pick him up, man. Like, again, if he's still out there on the waiver wire, people are not clamoring for him. Maybe they are after the big game, but you should have already been rostering him anyway. How much fab would you be willing to put up for Rashad Bateman and Elijah Moore at this point?
So the way I look at it is Rashad Bateman needs to be 100% rostered, in my opinion. I don't think Elijah Moore should, because Corey Davis will probably be back this week. And some people had Elijah Moore. I know you and I had Bateman higher than Elijah Moore in
we did
pre-draft, but the offense obviously much better for Bateman. So I would go. So are we doing like how much remaining fab or just from 100?
I mean, at this point in the season, you're really going remaining. I mean, so let's just play this out. So out of 100, I mean, I would. I mean, even if you're sitting with like half of it left or whatever, like, I mean,
if it's out of 100, I'd go 20 to 25 for Bateman.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate that. I was going to say like 15 to 20.
As long as your receivers aren't loaded. Like if you have like three really good receivers but then Bateman, like you said, then is still again, really viable, I mean, flex.
I was going to say, then again, you could use him as trade equity as well. So, I mean, I think 15 to 20 is perfectly fine. If you want to go a little aggressive, I don't hate that at all.
And the other thing we didn't even talk about with Bateman, if Watkins continues to miss time, or if he just comes back and Bateman clearly surpassed him on the depth chart, which is entirely possible, this is not only a passing game that's throwing the ball more, Lamar's playing great, and it's concentrated as hell. It's Hollywood, it's Bateman, and it's Mark Andrews. That's it. There's the occasional, I know Duvernay scored, they give him the occasional, you know, sweep and stuff, but like, that's it.
That's it. I mean, you can't read in too much of that variance. I mean, I'm not worried about Duvernay and this target share. But moving from that, well, before we go to running backs here, Adam, I see you got DPJ on the list here. Tell me why and how much you're willing to give up in fab. I understand the splash weeks. I worry about the passing volume, but sell me on the pickup of DPJ.
Yeah, this is more of, you know, deep. It's not like Rashad Bateman situation where you feel as comfortable starting him, but talented player, man. Absolute playmaker. I loved him in Michigan, and he's done this all year, and he did it last year too. Like he's got a huge play potential. He had a 60-yard touchdown last week. Odell Beckham Jr. obviously no longer in Cleveland. Yeah, if Cleveland can help it, games are gonna go like they went last week, right? Maybe not getting the defensive touchdown every week, but Nick Chubb gets the majority of the work, dominates on the ground, and Baker only has to throw 20 to 25 times. But they like him a lot. He's talented. He's got upside. And if there are games where the Browns have to throw 35 times, he can easily walk into 7-8 targets because it's him, Landry, and then whichever of the three tight ends get the ball, because they still have all three of Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, and David Njoku. And they're still not throwing to the running backs until Kareem Hunt's back. So.
I don't hate the pickup.
I do want to add somebody else, though. Yeah, sure. I do want to add somebody else because we talked about him last week, and I didn't put him on the list initially because I assumed he was, you know, way more popular. But I do need to add Brandon Ayuk in case, like, Brandon Ayuk went from it's crazy too, because I talked about it on the solo pod. He went from fourth round selection or whatever in redraft to massive bust to drop candidate to must drop to, all right, let's pick him back up and see what happens. He's starting to trend upward now. I think he's a must add. Like it's so crazy the roller coaster that we've seen with Brandon Ayuk. But you look at it, he once again led the San Francisco offense in terms of receivers in snaps and routes on Sunday. He's run a route on 94% of dropbacks over the last 2 weeks. He had a 93% snap share last week, 43 routes led the team. And that was with George Kittle coming back, which is pretty encouraging to me. Made contested catches, made plays down the field. He fumbled and they didn't go away from him, which was also encouraging. So the last 2 weeks, you look at it, he has 15 targets, caught 10 of them for 134 yards, one touchdown, 1 2-point conversion. Is he going to, you know, is he going to live up and return the value from when he was drafted? No, absolutely not. But he needs to be added. And I just think it's so crazy how his season has gone up and down and up and down.
Agreed, man. And it's been, I mean, that's the roller coaster that you live when you're in the Shanahan doghouse, man. Like, if you ever could slowly peek your head out of it and come back to relevance, then, I mean, great things can be had. So, yeah, I mean, if he's out there, go ahead and pick him up. And that's going to transit. Before we move over to running backs and talk about that position and a few other guys, that's going to transition me to some guys that I put on here, because you're talking about Ayuk, and is he out there? Is he not? Like, I guess, like, the differentiating line, if I can ever get this word out, on Brandon Ayuk, in a 10-team league, Adam, is he worth a pickup for you? Because I think that in a lot of 12-team leagues, yes, pick him up if he's out there, and I don't know if he's going to be, but in 10-team leagues, he could definitely be out there. Is he worth a roster spot there?
Trying to think who's on bye this week. The Bears, who else is on bye? I don't have it at the top, but like in 12 team leagues, must have on your bench at least. Mm-hmm. 10 team, I would say, as a bye week, you can add him, but he probably doesn't need to be added in a 10 team league. He can be added in a 10 team league, but he's not a priority like he is, at least in my opinion, in 12 teams.
Agreed. And I think that, and this is kind of telling you kind of where Brandon Ayuk is sitting at right now. Like, he's not a definitive wide receiver 3. He's somewhere in that middling wide receiver 4, maybe low end wide receiver 4, because still George Kittle being back, what Deebo Samuel has done to this point in this offense, I think those are the two unquestioned leaders for targets in this offense. So, you know, I think that's kind of about where I sit as well. Like, and some of this depends on, like, the context of your roster. If you're hurting at wide receiver, you need the upside on a weekly basis, then yes, stash Brandon Ayuk in 10-team leagues. And I want to get this back to, like, you need to be checking the wire for two other guys that are below 60% in ownership over on Yahoo right now. So they're only on less than 60% of teams. Logan Thomas is at 53% and Michael Gallup is at 48%. If somehow they are out on the wire, go check, search it. You might be surprised, because people dropped them weeks ago. And they got these players that go out to injuries, that come back, and Logan Thomas is supposed to start practicing this week. These are the ones that kind of get lost on the waiver wire, and all of a sudden you're searching and you're like, oh my Lord, they're out there. If they are, go pick them up. We know what Logan Thomas's role in this passing offense. He's going to run the routes. He's going to be in the same role come back to that he left, which is going to equate to a 15 to, what do you say, Adam? Like 19, maybe 20% target share on a weekly basis. I mean, 15 is kind of the floor. He's going to run routes and play all the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, last year, what, he led all tight ends in routes run? So,
yep.
Probably, I would say he's probably close to that the rest of the season in terms of his route running, you know, involvement. And we talked about it. If Taylor Heinicke or Ryan Fitzpatrick, whoever's going to be the quarterback, Fitzpatrick could come back. Mm-hmm. But whoever's throwing passes for Washington, if they throw 35 passes in a given game, how many of those passes are going to Terry McLaurin, J.D. McKissick, and Logan Thomas? I mean, it's been a lost season for Curtis Samuel. Dyami Brown's been in and out of the lineup. Adam Humphries is, you know, the slot guy that's going to get a couple targets a game. And Antonio Gibson doesn't get passes thrown his way. So, pretty concerned offense.
You have Logan Thomas basically fighting McKissick on a weekly basis for number 2 in the passing tree behind Terry McLaurin. So, if they're out there, again, go pick them up, people. And I want to get these two running back targets, because I want to spend a little extra time on the guy you're going to bring up here. Real quick, guys to stash. Ramondre Stevenson, we've talked about him. Again, I'm not blowing the fab clip to get him on my team, but if he's out there, I think you need to pick him up.
Yeah, just be careful with that. He and Damon Harris both suffered head injuries in the end of that game, so just keep an eye on that. But yeah, he looked good. He looked a lot more explosive than Damon Harris.
He looked really good. I mean, 12 touches, and he turned him into 106 total yards. The matchups upcoming are not amazing, but they're not terrible either. You've got Cleveland, Atlanta, and Tennessee. So could he, I mean, depending on Damon Harris is out, other things happen, could he be a guy that's worth the stash? I'm not saying to start him right now, but considering I don't think you're going to have to give up a ton of fab to get him, stash him and stash Eno Benjamin. We've seen Arizona roll with two running backs in this backfield. Now we know that Chase Edmonds is going to miss some time. I know James Conner operated as the clear, like, he was the do-it-all back last week, dude. Like, running routes, playing on long down and distance snaps, playing on short, playing a two-minute drill, playing on passing downs. And for a team that's still, like, and with them sitting Kyler Murray last week, their GM has come out and talked about it. They want to take the long-term approach to this year and be smart with players. Yes, James Conner operated in that role, but I mean, over the next few weeks, they also do not want to run him into the ground. Eno Benjamin's going to get touches in this backfield. We've seen that the rushing attack has been very, very good. And I'm not going to tell you that Eno can't carve out part of the passing game role. So considering what we saw last week, Adam, he got 9 touches, got in the end zone for a score. The matchups upcoming are pretty good. I'm looking at Carolina, Seattle, Chicago. Then they get the Rams, the Lions, and the Colts. So like 2-3 of those matchups, maybe he's flex-worthy, especially if you're in deeper leagues. If he carves out more of the role, then I think that, yeah, I mean, he's worth a dart to throw to stash him on your roster. Thoughts on Eno?
Yeah, he looked good. That touchdown run he had was really impressive. He ran, I think it was Dre Kirkpatrick, just straight up ran him over. And I agree, like, James Conner has been great this year, obviously, but with Hopkins banged up, Kyler banged up, you just lost Edmonds for, you know, a couple weeks. Like, yeah, I don't think they're going to come out and give James Conner, you know, 20. He's not going to get a Najee Harris type workload, I don't think. So Benjamin can be, now we'll see if he get, like, what if he gets the Chase Edmonds role? I guess I should elaborate. The Chase Edmonds role when he's not on the injury report, because when he's not on the injury report, he gets good usage. When he is on the injury report, he gets limited usage. If he gets that, like, he's probably a top 35 receiver or running back the rest of the way, or until Edmonds is back. So, yeah. I put Jordan Howard on this list. I would probably rather have Eno Benjamin, just because I think Jordan Howard's more of like a this week play, right? They have, I believe, Denver. But, like, Howard was the lead back last week, which, again, take with a grain of salt, is Philadelphia, and it's Sirianni, but he's gotten a ton of goal line work the last 2 weeks. The Eagles, I mean, Miles Sanders, after not getting the ball the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season or whatever, he has to be just sitting there, like, you know, the Dumb and Dumber gif of Lloyd when he's on the couch and he's just like that. That's like just shrugging his shoulders. That's what Miles Sanders has to be doing, watching the Eagles just completely establish their run the last couple weeks.
They changed up their offensive philosophy, man. I talked about in the DFS game by game breakdown. I was like, this is scary.
Dude, so looking at our pace tool at FTN Daily, since week 8, rush rate, Philadelphia, 71.4%. Yep. The next highest is New England at 58.2%.
Yep.
Like,
this is, and they're doing exactly what the Bears did to Justin Fields. They're dropping the passing rates. They're playing slower. They're running the ball a ton. And honestly, can we say at this point, this is like Sirianni just throwing shit against the wall and seeing like, okay, how do I possibly win games? Like at this point.
I mean, they almost won on Sunday. Their defense couldn't get off the field. They couldn't, like, Hurts. And I thought Hurts played really well in that game. He didn't, you know, do a ton because they relied on the run. But the plays he made on top of the running game working again, like we talked about it too, that's still the strength of this Eagles team. Their offensive line has struggled a bit in pass protection. But when they're healthy, when they're at their, you know, full strength with Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, and Brandon Brooks and these guys, they're still among the league leaders in yards before contact. Like, they can create plenty of running room. We saw it against the Lions. We saw it on Sunday.
I mean, yeah, their struggles. And again, I'm making Bears parallels here, but the Bears offensive line has been really, really good at run blocking. We've seen that over multiple weeks. The same thing can be said for the Eagles, dude. Like, they have struggled in pass protection. And how much you want to put that on Jalen Hurts, I get it. That's fine. But it's still the opposite side of the coin is they've been run blocking really well. And yes, if you look over at a lot of the different tools over at FTN Daily and parse through, you talked about yards before contact, like, they're playing well. And so this rushing attack, yes, there's equity in it, man. And But I agree with you. And all these different things we're talking about with Jordan Howard, I agree with you. That honestly, if it's between Howard or Eno Benjamin, and you're going to have to spend less fab to get Eno, because we've seen Howard get a few touchdowns and people, like, we only saw Eno get work last week, and they're like, well, but James Conner got all the work. He's going to be the clear, like, workhorse back, blah, 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 blah. I think, honestly, I'm with you. Like, I would go pick up Eno Benjamin over Jordan Howard because I think the upside is there for more. We know Howard's role is not going to grow. He's not going to catch passes in this offense because he can't catch passes. Eno Benjamin, on the other hand, could play in that type of Chase Edmonds role, where he's going to get 5 to 6 targets in a game, and he's going to get early down work. He's going to get maybe anywhere, and this is talking about the role expanding. I'm not projecting and saying that's exactly the role he's going to play, but he has the upside to do that. And then he could get 12 to 15 touches on a weekly basis. And if that's the case inside of the context of this offense, that's a whole hell of a lot more upside than anything that Jordan Howard can do. So yeah, I'm
and
totally
Miles Sanders
you,
will be back. Like, he has a chance to be back week 11. So you think maybe, and again, I want to be careful with that because you talk about this a lot in this pod. It's like, yes, IR 3 weeks, but that doesn't mean they're back that third after that third week. We've seen it with so many players. Yep. So, but you know, we talked the Eagles schedule pretty light going forward. That's why we were really high on trading for Miles Sanders before he got hurt. So we've seen him produce now in back-to-back really strong matchups. Denver's actually been run on a lot lately. I mean, Dallas couldn't because they couldn't get off the field and they fell behind in that game. Shocking. But like, you look at some of the games Denver's allowed the last couple games before the Dallas game, it was the D'Ernest Johnson breakout game was against Denver. The Raiders running backs a handful of weeks ago really got after them. And then Washington didn't do anything, but they can be run on a little bit more than we saw in the first part of the season.
I definitely agree, man. I covered it in the DFS game by game last week, and I was like, I was actually surprised walking into that because I thought Zeke was going to go overlook, and then he ends up as the chalk.
Yeah, Frank Stanfield and I talked about that a lot. It was like at the beginning of the week, Zeke looked like he was going to be super overlooked, and then that kind of went to Dalvin
Cook.
Then
he got super chalky. I didn't understand what the hell was happening because I wasn't expecting that to happen. And
that's why I got off him,
but
too. My first builds were like Zeke. And then I was like, all right, he's kind of a little popular. I can go up to Dalvin or something who might be less popular. And I think I got lucky because like that was just a weird outlier game from Dallas's offense. But yeah.
Well, and then Zeke gets banged up and stuff. But this is all, let's turn back the clock here. This is all to say that Denver is a really good matchup for the run game. Sneaky. Like, I think sometimes we get married, or at least some people get married to the name of these defenses. Like, oh, it's the Broncos defense. Oh, it's the Steelers defense.
Baltimore.
And Baltimore. And they get married to the names of these teams, and they're like, well, these defenses have to be good, right? And I'm like, no. If you read my game by game yesterday, or at least my breakdown of last night's game, I was like, Pittsburgh is quietly terrible versus the deep ball. Denver is quietly terrible on the ground. Walking into last week, they were number 32, dead last in the NFL in red zone rushing defense. They're not as good as people talk about. So yes, I'm absolutely on board with targeting the Broncos on the ground. The last guy I want to bring up here before we get up out of here, Adam, is Tyler Conklin. And people could say, like, look, he's rostered in a lot of leagues. And I'm like, no. I mean, I'm pulling up Yahoo. He's only rostered in 38% of leagues. And the matchup this week, hell, for the next 2 weeks, is good if you're going to be streaming the tight end position. They get the Chargers this week that are 30th in DVOA against the position. They get the Packers after that are 25th. And a guy that's running routes on almost 70% of Kirk Cousins' dropbacks over the last 2 weeks, he has a 20%, and people might blink their eyes at me, 20% target share over the last 2 weeks. Tyler Conklin's a guy that's involved in this offense, and the matchups are good. Well, you're probably going to get top 10, top 12 production, and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but at the tight end position, if he gets in the end zone, Adam, that could be what pulls you over the top and wins you a week, man.
I mean, Tyler Conklin has more targets the last 2 weeks than Justin Jefferson, so.
Ooh! Wow, that's painful to hear, man. Like, I mean, look, but it's good for Conklin, but I mean, for Jefferson, that's painful, man.
Tyler Conklin's been quietly really, really productive this year. He's been, more often than not, like 45 to 50 to 70 receiving yards, which is really all that you can ask for a tight end in that range anyway. 7 targets in back-to-back games, at least 5 in, I think, what, 5 of his games this year, looks like. Mm-hmm. And with what he's doing, makes me miss Irv Smith.
Oh, man. Same.
Damn. I miss Irv Smith so much. But go, like, he's, I think, 13th in the NFL among tight ends and routes run right now. He's like I said, yeah, like, he's a really strong, streaming option, borderline, back end, high end tight end too. And yeah, the Chargers have struggled against tight ends. He gets them this week. So yeah, I'm definitely in on Tyler Conklin. He's in that kind of like, and we didn't mention Freiermuth. Like, Freiermuth, yeah, if he's not out there, obviously, I would put him like top 3 waiver ads of the week. You can add Dan Arnold, and you can add Tyler Conklin. Those are the three tight ends to add off waivers, and I would probably rank them. We know Freiermuth's number one. Would you rather have Arnold or Conklin off waivers?
I'm going to go with the better offense. I'll go with Conklin because Dan Arnold's getting a lot of targets, but I mean, doesn't it feel like a Ricky Seals-Jones type of situation? Bad team, less scoring opportunities, you know, so,
yeah.
You know,
also he's not going to have a good week. He's not going to have a good week this week because after taking a hiatus from the Jacksonville Jaguars, it is officially Marv week. And more to come.
I love it. Every single episode, you find a way to weave in Bills. We hit that off the top. And Marv.
To be fair, I haven't talked about Marv at all lately because they've been so bad and I've been off them. But week 10 is Marv week.
All right. We'll see, man. I mean, look, I'm not going to throw any shade at Marvin Jones, especially before we get up out of here. There's no way I could possibly do that and hurt your heart. But thank you for everybody for tuning in to the Waiver Wire edition of this week. Adam and I are going to be back tomorrow to roll through trades that you need to be making before week 10 kicks off. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.